Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. I'm going to feature, among other people today, Jim McKinney, and also we're going to talk about the travesty. That will be in the second segment. We're going to talk about the real travesty that occurred in Washington, D.C. on last Wednesday. But I want to talk first about something a lot more positive. As you know, Dr. Chuck and I are very definitely Christian brothers. We're not saying that Christianity is absolutely correct. Judaism is absolutely incorrect. We're not saying that at all. All we're saying is what we personally think, and we have some ideas regarding what's going on in our country. And I respect everything that they have to say. You know, as a couple of rock and roll Christians, I got to tell you, we're pretty serious about what we're talking about, though. I personally am very, very concerned about what's going on in the United States right now. And I don't like what's going on in America, in my America. Going to turn it over to Chuck here. Going to see how far this goes. Chuck and I were talking off mic about the necessity of getting back to absolutes. Chuck, you want to elaborate a little bit, please?
Well, I think, Al, what we're facing right now is that everybody is trying to impose their arbitrary absolutes. Conservatives, liberals, you know, and no one really has any kind of grounds to talk about things anymore. And so often now everything is just emotionally charged. It's about our feelings. And we can't really get back and discuss facts without getting back to absolutes. And this is something that's happened philosophically over the past couple of hundred years, you know. But, just back to the point that there's an objective reality and there are absolutes. I mean, when we get back to that understanding, then we can begin to understand and talk about these things. You know, what blows my mind, Al, is how people can have all of these irreconcilable notions and truth ideas in their mind that are just, I mean, they just don't make sense when you think about all of them together, you know? So, you know, for example, we think about what happened yesterday at the Capitol. That really bothers me, what happened at the Capitol. Like probably most of the listeners, I'm very upset that Biden is our president, and I think there was a lot of things that were done under the table to change the election. But nevertheless, I don't think the right answer is going and storming the Bastille and starting to getting out the guillotine. You know, I mean, that doesn't do – all that does is, I mean, that's no better than what, you know, Antifa and all these people were doing. I mean, so we've got to fight this battle in a different way. You know, in trauma we say don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we've been fighting the battle on the wrong front. We've been bringing a knife to a gunfight when the battle is really about, you know, absolutes. You know, being able to express our opinions and understand everybody has an opinion, and that's okay. You know, that's okay that people don't believe like I believe. You know, people don't have the Christian faith.
Right.
But we have to get back to the point of understanding that if we're not talking about, you know, right and wrong, then we can say that, hey, Hitler was right. We just ought to go ahead and just blow up everything, you know. Or who's to say Hitler's right, or who's to say that Mother Teresa's right, you know. We have to have a basis in which to begin to talk to each other. And that's the problem now, is that I think both sides have created their own reality, you know, and the media is making that worse, you know, depending upon what station you listen to. And we're creating this reality that's not really a reality. So we got to get back to objective truth.
Chuck, I got to interrupt you just for a second. I don't completely understand what you're saying, and that's why you're a doctor, and I'm not. But I got to tell you,
I don't know if what I'm saying is true either. But it all started years ago. I mean, you know, people began to look for truth, and they could never really find it, and they could never really piece together a comprehensive worldview. And so what happened is the philosophers jumped into relativism, you know, Kierkegaard, you know, what's true for you may be true for you, but it may not be true for me. You know, there's a relative truth. And when that happened, you know, it just kind of opened up this whole panacea. And now that's permeated into our culture. And, you know, it's okay for people to have any type of belief without any real basis or any logical or rational basis for that belief. You know, and so we believe that, you know, on one hand, we can maybe abort babies, but it's okay to kill police officers, you know, or it's okay to kill one race over another race, you know. And we've got to get back to the thought of, okay, there is a moral conscience. For example, a lot of people are talking about injustice of specific races. Where does that sense of injustice come from? You have to know what is just. You know, you have to know what a straight line is to know what a crooked line is.
Right.
And so we have to get back to those things and begin to talk about those things before we can ever change and have a discussion with people. Because all of the things, when you turn on the TV, it's all about our feelings and not so much about the facts. And so I'm not saying the feelings aren't important, but we've got to get back to looking at the facts.
I want to hear some examples from you of facts. For example, I had one of our listeners who I have communicated quite a bit with on the blog saying that I was spewing venom yesterday. Aren't I ashamed of the website because there's so much hatred, etc., etc.? I don't think he was looking at the facts, to tell you the truth. Now, let's take an example. Let's get into politics, which is very, very difficult to come up with, with ascertained facts. But let's go into politics a little bit. We got to take a break here in about 2 minutes. But we have a time to get started as far as that is concerned. And I think that's an area that is ripe for what you want to talk about. I'll give you an example. Was the major riot that occurred on Wednesday, was that a fault of who? Well, let's say it's not a fault of anybody's, but let's say that it's wrong, because it is wrong. Everybody believes that what happened yesterday was wrong, particularly the family of that poor Air Force veteran who was shot by a D.C. police officer at literally point-blank range. Now, let's take that as an example. What the Trump supporters did was wrong, okay? They're very angry, and I know that I'm going to get a lot of negative comments from supporters who listen to this show on a regular basis, but you know, you can be angry about the way that the Democrats took over power, if you'd like, and that's fine. I am, but let's also go into what's the difference between that riot that occurred in Washington, D.C., when they went ahead and did the Electoral College vote. What's the difference between those riots and the riots that have occurred in Seattle, Portland, etc.? The difference is purely and simply, Chuck, one thing. It's really all about magnitude. I mean, there were 250,000 people. There were 250,000 people supposedly involved in the disturbance yesterday. But, you know, over the months that the anarchy occurred in Seattle and Portland, I mean, let's look at it this way. In Seattle, six people were killed. Six people were murdered by the anarchist actions in Seattle. We lost one yesterday in Washington, D.C. Got to take a real quick break. We're going to be right back and continue.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, there you go. Please support our sponsors. They're not our sponsors. They're the various station sponsors. Now, what occurred yesterday, liberals are calling it an absolute debacle, an absolute embarrassment. Well, fact of the matter is, I think it was a debacle, but, you know, when Seattle was taken over in the area called the CHOP, six people were gunned down, okay? That didn't happen yesterday in D.C. D.C. was totally out of place, but it was totally different from what's happened in other cities around the country. What I would like you to do, Chuck, is to opine on this a little bit and put it together with your concept of absolutes, would you?
So I do agree with you that the magnitude of the riots that we were seeing in the summer is very different than the riots that we saw yesterday at the Capitol. But here's one thing I think we need to get back to. Both are different groups of people trying to impose their arbitrary absolutes upon people. And that's really where politics has gotten to be. If you notice now, it really doesn't matter the character of the candidate. It doesn't, I mean, not so much their character or their history or their record. It's all about one group getting people in power to impose these things, because now we have in our culture, you know, you can't say that, you know, that person A's beliefs are any better than person B's beliefs. And so, because there's no basis to argue anything with anybody anymore. And so that's what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing people rioting, especially with, you know, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, all the things that they're, you know, this kind of below the surface of what they're trying to impose. I mean, they're things that are really not logical, you know, for one thing. But the other side is almost just as bad. And so it's not as bad, but it's still just as bad. I mean, it's not the right way to deal with these things. We've got to be able to talk about these things, and that's the problem. Everybody is so emotionally charged, and, you know, you can't really ever get down to having a real logical, rational discussion about something because everybody gets so emotionally involved about it. I mean, you know, and so since there is no truth, you know, no one can be right and no one can be wrong.
Right.
And so, and that's a real problem when we're talking about having to make a law and to put someone in jail when they break a law. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where we've got to get back to. We've got to get back to an understanding of, okay, this is what we consider right and this is what we consider wrong. It's wrong to break the law. It's wrong to go and destroy another person's property. It's wrong to go in and break into Nancy Pelosi's office and sit on her desk. As much as I don't like Nancy Pelosi, and I think it's funny, it's still wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's the wrong action. And so we have to get back to that. And if we don't, we're just going to end up in a civil war. And I really think that we have to be able to discuss these things. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but not their own truth. And I think that's where we need to get back with. In spite, you know, I mean, I have friends who are Islamic. I have friends who have New Age beliefs and all different kinds of beliefs. But, you know, I always have to get back with them that you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own truth. We have to get back to absolutes to have any type of order in our country.
Well, I have to say one thing. I think I don't have to say this, but, and I don't think this, I firmly believe this is true. I think that breaking the law is something that cannot go on regardless of what people seem to believe or not believe. It's a travesty that six people were killed in Seattle. It's a travesty that an Air Force veteran, a woman, was shot at point blank range Wednesday in
yep.
Washington, D.C. There is no way that you can justify murder, in my opinion. And that's an absolute, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to just think people to think about this. You know, from my worldview, from a Christian worldview, you know, I understand that all people are created in the image of God, whether they're Chinese, whether they're African American, whether they're white, Anglo. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, even the whole woke concept is based upon arbitrary absolutes.
Right.
You know, from my worldview, I believe that, you know, black people are in God's image, white people are in God's image, and we all in ways reflect God's creation in different ways. Just like you can look at many different types of beautiful roses. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, I don't think we need to be colorblind. I mean, let's be honest. Each one of us, when we look at other people, we see their color. And to not see people's color would be, in a sense, saying that God has not created people uniquely, you know, with different ethnic backgrounds and different family backgrounds and geographical locations. Just like you would look at a rose. I mean, you may have 40 different types of roses, and all of them are beautiful in their own way. And I think that's where we kind of need to get back to understanding with people, even people who may believe very differently than we are. From my worldview, we're all in God, created in God's image, and we all have value. And I think right now, people aren't seeing that. People are trying to divide people into tribes, and I think the internet is helping with that. You know, people are creating their own reality in the internet and what they listen to in the feeds. And it's all feeding into this division where we're not seeing each other as created in God's image. We're not seeing the absolutes and the truth behind things. Does that make sense?
Well, to me, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, I really believe that you want to treat your fellow man like you want to be treated. I mean, I don't want to be in an environment where I could get killed by somebody whose entire thinking was based on their emotion and not on facts. It's a possibility.
Right.
You know, that's a possibility today. I, quite frankly, I think this has to be straightened out in the sense that people have to respect other people's opinions. I don't think it's right to take... I think that respect has to be unconditional, and I don't think it's correct to push your views to the point where you're actually inciting violence. And I will tell you, I feel that way very strongly about what happened in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building on Wednesday. I feel actually just as strongly about what happened in Seattle and Portland, Oregon, which has been going on for about the last 6 months or so. We have to love each other and respect each other.
Yep.
Dr. Chuck, we got a boogie. Thank you for your time.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second half of the KE Report. I want to tell you, I really like what Dr. Chuck has to say. And I know it's very, very non-secular, but you know what? It just really makes sense. Talking about things like absolutes, as we discussed in the first half of the show, is something that I think is incredibly important. It's an incredibly important topic when we're talking about societal issues right now. Got Jim McKinney on the line with me right now. Jimmy and I have been talking off mic all week, and we decided it would be very appropriate only this week to devote the second half hour of the show entirely to a discussion about what happened on Wednesday. I do want to just say one thing. I don't normally take criticism badly, but I got to tell you, Silver Dollar, you are so off base. I just don't believe it. I mean, I guess I want to start off by saying, number one, the actions right now that the Democrats are taking against Donald Trump in terms of impeachment, et cetera, what happened to the peace in the Middle East situation? The first president who's ever accomplished it to the degree that he has. I suppose if you're anti-Semitic, you don't like that. But I guess I'm not anti-Semitic, as listeners are aware. I think that Trump should probably get a Nobel Peace Prize for what he put together in the Middle East. I don't think there's any question about that. I want to go on. I want to talk a little bit about what the conservatives came out with today. As Trump said again today, you know, no more violence. Let's just make this transition peaceful. And I know someone like Silver Dollar is going to come back and he's going to say, well, if he's going to be peaceful, why the hell doesn't he go to the why doesn't he go to the swearing in of Joe Biden? That would be probably the stupidest question I ever heard from anybody in my life. Why don't you tackle it first, Jimmy, because you're certainly not stupid.
Well, that's everything's relative, right?
Yep.
Some people on the left certainly think that I am. But I think the reason why the president is not attending is if he attends, then it somewhat legitimizes the Biden victory. And I think there's so many questions and so many concerns by his base that legitimizing that victory would be unfortunate. If you're a Republican in name only, if you're an old school elitist from inside the Beltway, and that, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever, and you are trying to protect the system, then you're going to say everybody needs to play nice and do what just shut up, stay in line. And what you saw and what you're seeing is so many Americans that are just tired of that elitism that has forgotten the rest of the country. And I think Donald Trump, by not attending the inauguration, or at least stating he's not going to attend the inauguration, is saying, hey, look, it's not a legitimate victory, and I'm confident that he'll be continuing to operate politically, if not attempt to run for 2024, which is clearly why the Democrats are attempting at the last minute to impeach him in the last 2 weeks, or, you know, week and a half of his presidency, because yeah, they really want to do whatever they can to destroy the Republicans at mm-hmm. any opportunity, any conservatives. And it is sad, because they are delegitimizing half the country.
You know, I'll tell you, I've known three politicians over the years pretty well on a personal note. One of them was Ron Paul, one of them was Brian Baird, and one of them was Walter Jones. And I have to tell you, they all left politics. Jones died, but he was very, very upset what was going on politically in the Beltway, as were both my friend Ron Paul and a guy who I also really respect, Brian Baird. Brian had it made. Brian, conceivably, he was a Democrat, sorry about that, but he was a very, very intelligent man. I knew the guy really well. He represented our district. I got all the time in the world for people like him. But I'll tell you, to compare Brian to somebody like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, there's no comparison. I wish I had the opportunity to get to know Schumer personally. Nancy Pelosi, it doesn't matter. But I can't imagine anybody being as vindictive and as vitriol as Chuck Schumer is. Maybe he's got a reason to be that way. I don't know. Maybe, you know, in the other room, he's a really nice guy. I don't know, but I sure don't understand him.
Well, I think it's zero-sum game politics. It's destruction at all costs, your enemy. And yeah, if you don't have moral values, and if you're willing to say whatever it takes and lie and manipulate, then you're going to go ahead and continue to do everything. If the ends justify the means, and clearly the ends were embarrassing this presidency to any extent possible through the entire presidency, mm-hmm. even before they won the election in 2016, then you're justified, because you've made every single accusation you possibly could to undermine the administration and where they were headed.
Yep.
Unfortunately, many of those things were very good for the country and regaining confidence in America, rebuilding manufacturing and employment, support for Black communities and Hispanic communities. So many positive things in the international front, with, you know, reduction in tensions with North Korea, with the peace agreements in the Middle East, putting Iran on notice, withdrawing troops.
You know, and what about the rest of the Middle East, for God's sakes? You know, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Oman, et cetera, et cetera. I mean,
they're all negotiating peace. It's amazing.
It's a historical event. There's no question about it. And if the Nobel Committee was even close to being unbiased, Trump would get the Nobel Peace Prize for that, or his son would. I don't know. One of them would.
Yeah, but the globalist elites that are attempting to manage the future of the world right now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They are no way going to give legitimacy to anything this administration has done.
Absolutely.
And you know the politicians that lapdog politicians that jump up and kiss them or take a bone or whatever cash they can to continue on with their operations and their functions and their quest for power. Mm-hmm. They're never going to stand up for something that's even right. It's just that's how upside down our world has become.
Well, I got to tell you, Jimmy, I want to talk about this since we got two segments to go in this particular weekend. I want to talk about that, obviously, again, after the commercial break, which is coming up here in pretty quick, about 2 minutes. But I want to say that I am absolutely amazed at the status of our country right now. I can go on and on and on, but I don't want to offend anybody. I really don't. I just want to say, in my opinion, I am absolutely amazed. Am I proud to be an American? Not today. I am not today proud to be an American.
Well, I'm proud to be an American, and so I'm still proud to be an American. But what many of the people in the progressive left, in the media, and the millennials and these ideologists, they're not proud of America. America is a different place for them, and that's what's happened in our education, in our politics, in our quest for technology and supporting these tech companies and what they're doing in our totally information controlled society. They don't understand even what America is. And America is a much different place than what they want and what they see. And that's unfortunate, you know?
Well, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I think it's really true. I'd say, it's interesting. Amazon is now the largest employer in the Seattle, Washington area. And I guess what I would like to know, with the power that company has with the individual, okay, not the big-time airplane buyers, but the individual consumer like you and I and Laura and Kathy, et cetera, I just wonder how good a thing that is. Jim, I want you to think about that. We've got to take a commercial break here. I just have time to wrap up, and that's basically about it. But how good is it that Amazon and Microsoft have the economic power that they do? I'd like to get some opinions on that one from our audience. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be back in just a couple of seconds. Hey, welcome back. Time for the second half of the KER report. Just opining a little bit with Jim McKinney on what happened this week. I'm not opining necessarily on the results of the election. I'm opining on the accusations of the results of the election. I'm not an expert, so I can't really comment effectively on was it a clean election or not. Jimmy, give your opinion. You're much, 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 much more well-versed than I am on that one.
So there is so much information that was presented on the House, in Congress, that was legitimate questions on accuracy in the counting of the elections. And I could go into numerous cases. Those questions need to be answered. If they are not answered, and if the Democrats and the media think that they will just continue to silence people, they are going to force a very big segment of this population into standing up for fundamental rights, because it is about whether or not your vote counts. And, it's going to turn back on the Democrats at some time. They think, remember, in 2008, Obama won the House and the Senate. In 2010, they were shellacked. lost it back to the Republicans. And then he never gained it back. So, you know, these things turn, the politics turn. The effort right now by trying to control the outcome of the election, not letting people question these very important questions that must be answered on the election process in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Arizona, Nevada, forcing out observers, the count changes in the middle of the night, the, you know, mail-in ballots from the COVID, you know, that were unchecked, no checking of identity or signatures. These questions must be handled. They must be handled. They must be answered, and they must be looked forward. If they attempt to close that off, they're asking for worst case, unfortunately, than what happened on Wednesday. Wednesday is just a small sample. There are so many people. You know, you can't alienate half the population of the country and then expect to come out on top, you know?
You know, the one question I have to ask, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and that is, the Democrats were not outraged when you had anarchy in Seattle, anarchy in Portland, anarchy in other major cities, specifically in the Minnesota, et cetera, et cetera. They were not outraged at that. The level of violence that occurred in Washington, D.C., if you want to use body count as a measure, which I think you kind of have to, was much less than it was. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's the body count level was quite a bit lower. And
the destruction, it's an opportunity for the media and the Democrats and even the Republicans in name only, the people that are willing, that are, you know, bowing to this pressure, to bow to the media demagogues that are saying that this was terrible and destructive. They are counting, and Fox News, every one of the major networks are saying the same thing. Five people died. Well, three people died because of either heart or some event that was just a physical event. One cop died because apparently he had either a heart attack or something after he was involved in it. And then the one person that actually died in the event was shot by a cop, unarmed. And if, you know, if that was a black, you know, a young black woman, the entire in a BLM riot, this entire world would be turned upside down now in the opposite direction. But people are completely ignoring that, saying five people are dead, false information, false news in order to incite more hatred, to use it politically to undermine Trump supporters, and the fact that there are nearly a million people out there being peaceful and nice almost the entire time, with the exception of the people that actually broke into the Capitol building. And they were furious and frustrated with the failure to effectively count this and question this election. And I'm telling you, and I said it the other day, there's two ways the Democrats can go now in leadership. They can attempt to set up some way to analyze and look at it, or they can double and triple down on their control. They're attempting to double and triple down on control. And that's going to tear the country apart. That will tear the country apart.
Well, it certainly is tearing my social circle apart. There's no question about that. And I'm not sure it hasn't shaken out yet in terms of what I could do to my family circle. Right now, I'm a little bit nervous about that, because I would hate to see my family break up just because people don't want to, you know, consider all sides of every story.
But that's just don't talk politics with him, Al. Don't talk politics with
him. Oh, never again. Yeah. Never again. Never again, Jimmy. There's no question about that. Never again will I ever do that. Which is kind of too bad, but, you know, it just shows you how close you really are to those people.
You know, at the end of the last segment, you talked about people considering and thinking about how much power Amazon and Alphabet and these the tech companies have. They control the message. They control the platform. They are forcing people, forcing big media companies in order to toe a certain line. They're restricting. They're actually censoring, you know. Apparently, a publisher is going to censor Senator Hawley's book. These people are unbelievable in their attempts to take away basic fundamental freedoms of the Constitution. This is what I was talking about, the difference between I believe in America. I don't believe in what the left and what these people are doing right now. And look, as a classical liberal, these are the things that Democrats should be fighting for. But they are completely away from that. They are supporting big tech. They are supporting big business. They are undermining the small guy. And I don't know how that switched around so quickly, but oh my God, is it ever?
Yeah, there's really no question about that, Jimmy, whatsoever. It really is too bad. I'm sorry it's happened. I'm sorry it happened in my family. But, you know, I'm not really sure what I can do about it. You know, and it's, you know, obviously, I'm sorry, very sorry about it. I hope we don't have any big losers here, is all I can say. Family members, for lack of better terms. Kathy's the only one who's really, well, I don't want to say that. Sarah and Stephanie have done a really good job. But in terms of, you know, people I'm really close to, Kathy has handled it incredibly well. Kathy, to this day, could have an intelligent conversation with you and Laura about the situation. I have other family members who definitely could not.
People, there are so many people out there that have shut off their mind, been twisted by emotion to the point that they're unwilling to open their mind or even consider talking or listening to any other point than what they believe from Facebook, from Instagram, from Snapchat, from what, you know, CNN said a little while ago. And you know, when you have that type of biased and complete influence, it's really tough for people to objectively see what's in their best interest. When you actually ask the questions and they either stop talking or if they pause to think for about it, it almost hurts. And that's what's so disturbing, that you can't have a reasonable discussion because they are so emotionally entwined by this. But here's the hopeful point of it, because I am optimistic. You know what? They attacked Donald Trump for 4 years. When Donald Trump leaves on the 20th of January, they're going to try and drag this out. But pretty soon they don't have anything to go on. But now they've got Joe Biden as president. And think about what that's going to look like. They're going to have a tough time trying to keep people's interest and keep the hate up unless they again start attacking individual Trump supporters and continue this hatred movement towards like some sort of Nazi black, you know, brown shirted, you know, destruction. And, you know, there's some people that are really, really considering that's the solution. Just take away all the Trump supporters. You know what? That ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
No, it really isn't. I mean, the Trump supporters who I know are, we're all a bunch of pretty intelligent people. There's no question about that. We're not really, you know, we're well-read. We're not, we don't just go on emotions, et cetera, et cetera. So be that as it may, it's a shame this thing happened this way, but I guess the truth hurts is the best way to put it. Reality is reality. There's no question about that. I'm very, very sad about that, but I want to make one final comment, and I'm dead serious about this. My final comment, Jimmy, is this. I have no opinion right now. Don't hate me for saying this. And I'm going to give it until about September and see what happens. And if the liberals are correct, we'll know by September. And I have to tell you, Silver Dollar, you think I've been vindictive up to this point. We get bad things going on between now and September, and this program is going to become number one on the hit parade, and I have to tell you why. Because the truth is going to come out, and I'm willing to sit here and say, I'm not going to say anything until September. And at that point in time, I'm either going to say, you know what, I was wrong, or if not that, you know what, I was right. How do you guys feel about that? You have lost your country. Ladies and gentlemen, see you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.